Well, hello everybody, and yes, welcome again to the last sermon of the year. I'm going to read Psalm 90, and if you have a Bible, it would be good for you to follow along. Psalm 90 is the only one of the Psalms which is credited to Moses as the author. Probably most of you know that a lot of the Psalms are connected with David. Moses was around earlier than David, and this is connected with him, attributed to him, and it's a contrast between God's eternity and man's short life. And it contains that verse that Christine read at the beginning, that in my version, which is the New American Standard, there's an extra little bit in that verse that to me brings it alive. The verse is 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. So let's read the psalm. It's in three parts, just to help you have a orientation. There's parts which emphasize how different God's way of timing is from ours. He does long things and we do short things. And then there's a section about kind of mourning because the nation's in a bad state because it's turned away from God. And then there's a series of requests to God in the third part, which is what we're going to focus on most. Okay, so time and eternity. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou dost turn man back into dust, and dost say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. Thou hast swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they're like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Towards evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we've been dismayed. Thou hast placed our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy presence. For all our days have declined in thy fury. We've finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years. Or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labour and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of thine anger and thy fury according to the fear that is due thee? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for thy servants. O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days thou hast afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let thy work appear to thy servants, and thy majesty to their children. And let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us. And do confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. So there's that psalm, the contrast between God and us, and yet the invitation for us to connect and stay connected with God. Just as I was sitting at the piano there and Christine was talking, a verse came into my head which comes in the book of Ecclesiastes. You may remember the book of Ecclesiastes. It's full of doom and gloom. You know, everything is futile is a way of summing it up. All is vanity. And yet there's a gem of a verse in Ecclesiastes which shows that God has given us an organ which connects eternity with time. Did you know that? In your body there's an organ that connects eternity with time, connects God with us. Here it is, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. But so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning, even to the end. There's a bit of an irony in this verse. God has actually put inside us a connection with himself, where eternity joins with time. But actually, he's given men the opportunity whether to connect or not. And a lot of men choose not to, and women as well. But Ecclesiastes, that doom and gloom writer, you know, everything's futile. It's no good being rich. When you die, someone else will get it. It's no good working hard because it's all gone when you go. And people who don't work hard seem to get just as much money anyway. And it's all dreadful. But there it is. God's put eternity in the heart of man. God has connected himself with us through this heart. Interesting, isn't it? Bible refers to the heart about 900 times. It's talking about our inner essence, our passion and our direction. And God illustrates it by giving us a lump of muscle that beats and sends blood to the rest of the body with every beat, with a rhythm that God himself has directed and which we ourselves can influence. So there's this psalm, the people. This contains that verse you probably noticed that says, we only live 70 years, and if we're lucky, we make it to 80. Remember in the time of Moses, the people were wandering in the wilderness, and God had said, you're all going to die out before you get the promised land, except for one or two, the two good spies who had spied out the land of Canaan and said, yes, God will give us the victory, Joshua and Caleb. And those two survived, but all the other men of their generation died out, and hence their life was shortened. And that was the context in this psalm, which gives us the ironic thought that God wants us to live long and prosper, but sometimes our lifestyles shorten both the enjoyment and the length of our life. So part one, God transcends time. Part two, our sins have ruined our life. And part three, we can bring our requests to him. And I don't know whether you feel maybe God is inaccessible, transcendent, he's too far above us, he doesn't connect with me. Or whether you think maybe I've done bad things in the past that have completely ruined my life and I can never get back to how it should be or how it could be. Well, this psalm gives us hope for both of those problems. Shows us how we can connect with God and how we can actually recover from the effect of sins in our life. And I want to turn the last part of the psalm into a prayer for all of us right now, because it's very good to pray scripture. You know, when there's a prayer in scripture, you know that it's God's will that we should have the answer to that prayer. So I'm going to pray through verses 12 to 17, and let's all say, well, I don't know how we're going to do it, we'll just play it by ear really. We're going to ask God, and we're going to say this as a prayer. If you've got a Bible open, we can all say it together. And that will be fun, won't it? Because we've all got different versions. So, Psalm 90. Bearing in mind that God does want us to connect with him. Bearing in mind that the past does not control our future. We're going to find our Bibles and open Psalm 90, and we'll read together. And I think what I'm going to do is say, thank you, Lord, at the end of each verse when we've made that request. That would be good, wouldn't it? So, ready. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for thy servants. Thank you, Lord. O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Thank you, Lord. Make us glad according to the days thou hast afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Thank you, Lord. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Thank you, Lord. And let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and do confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Thank you, Lord. So we've asked the Lord to teach us how to number our days, and we've asked him to return to us if we sense that he's gone. We've asked him to satisfy us with his loving kindness. We've asked him to make us glad and to show his work to us, to show his majesty to our children. That's a nice one, isn't it? All of us who have children, we've just asked that God will show his majesty to our children. Amen, Lord. And we've asked him, let your delightfulness be upon us, let your favour be upon us, and please confirm the work of our hands. Verse 12 in Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. How do we number our days? Many ways we number our days, don't we? One is by having a calendar. Literally numbers the days. Anyone know what's special about this calendar? Railway Mission.
It's got John Rowe in it.
It's got John Rowe in it. On the August. Very small, but you know. God does small, doesn't he? Can we find it? It's trying to escape from me. I've got to find. But you know, some of these calendars, you know, they have half at the front and half at the back, you know. Okay. So talk among yourselves. Think about how you might number your days. Because God is not saying your days are numbered, you're about to come to an end. God's inviting us to number our days in a way that brings him into our life. Here we are. Look, support on life's journey. It says chaplains provide chain of care support to the rail industry. And, well, there we are. Chaplains treat all staff the same, regardless of faith or no faith. And there is a photo of John Rowe, who is one of the railway chaplains. That's our very own John Rowe from Lorne. So he was giving these out like there was no tomorrow.
Did he sign it for you?
No. He gave out, he has hundreds of them to give out, so he's grateful for anyone who takes one. So there's our sermon illustration. Teach us to number our days so that we will present to thee a heart of wisdom. So if you forget what I'm talking about, that's what I'm talking about. Teach us to number our days, so that we may present to God a heart of wisdom. What is this saying? It's saying that God leads us through life in ways that teach us things that can connect us with him. Teach us so that we may present to thee. Now, in the Hebrew of this verse, which I looked at in great detail and I won't bore you with, this idea of presenting or giving to God, it's actually a very general word which can be translated in all sorts of ways. But it can mean to bring or to bring back. So what God is saying in a nutshell is every moment he gives us, every day he gives us, is an opportunity to connect with him in the heart and to give something back to him. Bring back to God, to connect with him. Numbering our days leads to a heart of wisdom. And it's a two-way thing. I want to show you from this passage that God cares about the response that we make to him. So it's not just God is transcendent, he lives a long time, we're very short, he's great and we're pathetic, remember it and feel small. It's God has actually given us the ability to correspond and respond and even bring joy to him, which is very exciting. So teach us in such a way. I'm going to break this into four parts. Teach us in such a way is the first. What is God teaching you at the moment? Are you conscious that God is teaching you anything at the moment? Is there any sense that what you're going through, God is teaching a lesson, or that he wants to teach something? Is there some frustration where God needs to teach patience, or some person where God is teaching us to learn how to love when we don't feel like loving, or some situation which seems impossible, that God is teaching us to turn to him for help? What is God teaching you or wanting to teach you at the moment? Because actually, this passage is saying that every single one of our moments, because this word days in Hebrew, again, is a very wide word. It can mean moments, it can mean years, it can mean any part of time. So actually, it's just the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months. Every one of those God has a purpose for. And what does this passage teach us about how to let God teach us? First verse in the passage says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. One of the first ways of using our time is to spend time dwelling with God. A lot of people have a regular habit in the morning spending time with God and dwelling in him, listening to him, and returning to him. In verse 3 he says, return, O children of men. Often our life consists of moving away from God by something we say or do, and then God invites us to come back. Return to him. Use that moment to return to him. Acknowledge that our sins have had consequences, and offer him our exhaustion and sorrow. Anyone suffer from exhaustion and sorrow? Exhaustion? Yeah? Sorrow? Well, this passage invites us to bring those back to him. Offer him, Lord, I'm exhausted. Please help. Lord, I'm sad. Please cheer me up. And teaching us, there's something about dwelling in him, something about returning to him, and it's something about working with him. How do we work with him? I saw an insight here. If you look at verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, let thy work appear to thy servants. And then it says, do confirm for us the work of thy hands. Did you see that? There's two requests there. Number one is, ask God to show us what he's doing. Let your work appear to your servants. And then secondly, ask him to confirm or strengthen the work we are doing. So it means any work we do, any piece of work, any situation, ask God, God, what are you doing in this situation? What are you doing in this person? And therefore, what do you want me to do that connects with your purpose? So that's interesting. I've found that teaching in the New Testament, but now I've found it in the Old Testament as well. So let thy work appear to thy servants. Remember, Jesus only ever did what he saw the Father doing. Any situation Jesus walked into, he tuned into the Father with his heart. Father, what are you doing in this person's life? Well, I want to heal them. So then Jesus would pray that they would be healed, and so on. So God teaching us, learning for God to teach us. So there's a question, what's God teaching you at the moment? Secondly, number our days. How can we do this? It's a good time, isn't it, to take stock and think. I wonder what 2018 has meant for anybody. We're going to have 1 minute testimonies at the end for people to share what 2018 has meant or what has given. And next week, of course, we'll be looking forward to see what 2019 could bring. And God invites us to take stock. He invites us to count our days. Not just counting the days towards an event that's coming, but actually being mindful from day to day of how we're living. And there's three keys here that I can see about numbering our days. Number one is the question of priority. Verse 14, it says, satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. So every day, God wants us to rejoice about something. In our Bible reading in the mornings, Christine and I read a few passages of Scripture, and the bookmarker says, start each day with a grateful heart. And when I do remember that, that's good. Start each day with a grateful heart. So this passage is saying, every day cultivate thankfulness. And then it says, seek God in the morning. Oh, satisfy us in the morning, which is a scriptural support for the idea that in the morning it's good to do some Bible reading and praying and have a habit every day to do it regularly. So there's regularity. I have a question. How many of you have ever read the entire Bible all the way through? Some have, some haven't. Do you know how easy it is to read the Bible in a year? If you read between 3 and 4 chapters every day, you can read the Bible in a year. That doesn't seem so bad, does it? If you read 3 chapters every day and 5 chapters on Sunday, not so hard, is it? There's an idea for a resolution for 2019. Those of you who've never read the Bible all the way through, never got the sense of it as a story. Some of it is tough going, it's true. But it's definitely worthwhile. Many of us have done that many times. I did it 16 years running. Now I dip in and out, but I know where to find things as a result. So there's priority. What's your priority in your time? What actually do you spend most time doing or thinking about? Bring God into that. What's your regularity? Do you have any habit of cultivating the moments with a view to storing knowledge of God in your heart? And the third aspect of that is opportunity, because there's no time like now, is there? The Greeks had 2 words for time. One of them was chronos, from which we get chronological. That's measuring time. There's another one called kairos, which is about opportunity. Now is the time to take the opportunity. Also in this verse, there's the little verse that says, let thy majesty appear to our children. So there's the reminder there that actually what we're doing has an impact on generations to come. And the example we set of our life with God is something that our children will notice. And maybe be influenced by, even if not when they're young, when they're older. So numbering our days, important. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. How can we develop this heart of wisdom? One of the best definitions I found of wisdom is to see things from God's perspective and to live in the light of this perspective. To see things from God's perspective and to live in the light of this perspective. God invites us to see things from his perspective. How do we start? Well, this verse mentions something which is the starting point, and it comes in verse 11. It says, the fear that is due to thee. Starting the Christian life is a serious business. It's acknowledging that God is greater than us, acknowledging that we have turned away from him. We need to come back to him. And that is described in the Old Testament as the fear of the Lord. It's a reverence, an acknowledgement that he is greater, he needs to be worshipped, and we can't mess about and trifle with him. That's the fear of the Lord. That it's not the same as being afraid, not the same as being terrified. And I found a verse in Exodus which makes that point. Exodus 20, verse 20. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin. So God presents himself as someone who is awesome, but not someone who terrifies us, But his intention is that we should fear him. In other words, be careful about how we live. Respect him, honour him. And that's an important starting point for presenting ourselves to God and learning a heart of wisdom. Because the proverb says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You will never find a wise man who is not basing his life on the fear of God. There's human wisdom, all sorts of clever men and women who deny that God exists or deny that God is in charge. And all their knowledge does not amount to any wisdom at all in God's eyes. In fact, he sees them as fools. Yet if we build our lives on God himself and on reverence for him, that is what God regards as wisdom. That's the fear of God. Learning to tune into the wisdom of the heart. So the heart of wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, cultivating that relationship with God, making a start with God. But continuing the heart of wisdom. At this time of year, we think of the Christmas season, don't we? Luke 2 verse 19. There's a lady here who teaches us something about the heart. Who might it be in Luke chapter 2? It says, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her head. Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. That's interesting. Mary was storing up treasures in her heart. The treasures were meditating on what God had just done. It was the visit of the shepherds, actually. And she spent time after that treasuring up these memories, these experiences, these blessings from God in her heart and pondering them in her heart. So I think Mary is a good example, especially at Christmas time. That means when God does something good, or we have a happy experience, the thing to do is to take a pause and be grateful to God. And the way I do it is I breathe in and out thinking of God blessing me in my heart. And I've told you this many times, and I do it regularly. And I find it a great blessing. Take that blessing into our heart. So it's not just thinking about that was good, but it's consciously thinking, yeah, I'm going to enjoy that memory. Yes, and I breathe in and I think of the happiness of the memory and happiness of the blessing. And that's a very good and healthy thing to do. So Mary was doing that 2,000 years before I was, which is good. And David, who was the man after God's own heart, how was he the man after God's heart? Because he made a study of God's emotions. Very interesting. Lots of us may make a study of God's acts. David made a study of God's emotions, and he connected with the emotion in God's heart. He felt God's love, and he felt love toward God, and he stayed in that place of enjoying God's love for him. The Christian life is not just about thinking things through and thinking correctly. It's about enjoying the truth of God in our heart. Fourthly, present to thee. What does this mean? Present to thee a heart of wisdom. To bring God a heart. Now this is almost the most fantastic thing about it, because God is saying, I've given you this ability to contemplate and receive my blessing. I call it the heart. And if you do that, I myself will be blessed as I look at you. That's amazing, isn't it? God is interested in how we respond, and it makes a difference to him. In Proverbs 23, verse 15, Proverbs is the book after Psalms, here's a wonderful fact. It says, my son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad. That's what the writer of Proverbs was saying. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my inmost being will rejoice. Now, consider that God is writing the Bible to us. Consider that message from God. God says, my son or my daughter, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad. So just picture that for a moment. When we choose to receive from God, choose to be grateful, choose to see things in his light, and receive those with thanksgiving, and focus on how grateful we are, God himself is getting something back from us. There's a heart-to-heart connection. That's amazing. That's amazing. See, as Christians, we're often taught, aren't we? Oh, I've got a terrible heart. Oh dear, if God looks into my heart, what are the terrible things he's going to see? But actually, God is looking for those lovely things in our hearts that he's put there. It came to me as I was preparing this that our heart is a bit like a garden. And there may be gardeners here. And gardens have weeds as well as flowers, don't they? And what would you think of a gardener who spent all his time telling you about the weeds in his garden? Would that cheer you up? Oh, the bindweed is dreadful this year. And he omits to tell you about the roses and the hollyhocks and all the beautiful things that are there. His whole life is focused on, oh, I've got to get rid of these weeds. Well, when God looks into our hearts, he's actually been planting seeds in our heart. He's been planting seeds of love and peace and joy. And every time we accept a seed of love or peace or joy from God, he causes something to grow in our hearts that actually puts fruit in our life and that he is pleased to see. So when he looks into my heart, by faith I declare that God can see fruits of truth and love and joy and peace. And he's pleased and he says, yes, that's my boy. He doesn't say, Stephen, you haven't dealt with that weed yet. Well, he doesn't say that all the time. Sometimes he gives me a nudge and he says, Stephen, it's time to deal with that weed. Or, I think you ought to be thinking about such and such. But that's not condemnation. That's a loving message. Because that weed is spoiling the flowers. But the flowers are also there. So I'm pleading for balance here. When that verse in the psalm says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. It's not the word that's wicked, it's the word that's hurtful. Inviting us to ask God to show us anything in our life that's damaging us or harming us. The devil is very good at pointing out what's evil in our lives. I don't know if you noticed that. God points out what's harmful and what's harming, and he invites us to bring it to him to change it. So be a grateful gardener for what God's doing in the garden of your life, is what I say. Don't ignore the weeds, of course, because if you're not dealing with the weeds, then the flowers won't have room to grow either. But let's talk about the flowers as much as the weeds, or even more. And let's water one another's flowers. Now I'm pushing this analogy, aren't I? Or add fertilizer. Or a bit of sunshine. That's all right, isn't it? Bring some sunshine to the lives of other people. I digress. So present to thee. So my big point here is God's put eternity in our heart. In other words, he's given us the capacity to respond to him. As a human being responding to the infinite, he's looking for our response. He's delighted by it. That verse 17 at the end of the passage says, let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us. Anyone got a different version for that word where it says favour?
Beauty.
Beauty. Yeah. You see, the Hebrew is about beauty and delightfulness. It's not particularly about favour. What that's saying is that the beauty of God himself can actually be upon us. And people can actually see in you the beauty of God himself. And that's a prayer that God's beauty would be upon us. And beauty is about reflecting God, about behaving like God, about letting those flowers grow in our garden. That's a great climax for the psalm. So it starts off with, oh, you're so much greater than us. We're so feeble. Our lives are so short. Oh, look at this mess we've made of our lives. No, it's dreadful. And then these prayers. God, teach us how to live in such a way that we're building a heart or growing a heart that's responding to you, becoming like you, and growing a garden where the flowers in it are flourishing. And then finally, God's beauty or delightfulness is upon us. And I'm not trying to make you feel puffed up or proud, but simply to acknowledge that God sees you as beautiful. Because when God is at work in you and in me, what he's doing is beautiful. And he sees it as beautiful. And that's the ultimate point of view, isn't it? And if wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view, then wisdom is to recognize that God is doing beautiful things in our lives and in other people's lives, and to encourage that. So here endeth the psalm. I'm going to hand over to Christine. I think it may be the time for 1 minute testimonies. So I invite you really to reflect on what I've said, reflect on the year 2018, and then anyone who would like to come and share something at the front, however brief, this will be wonderful to encourage one another.